A fantastic Friday to each of you, and welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Hope each of you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. The Grizzlies are back in action tonight, but of course they suffered another tough loss against the Toronto Raptors on Wednesday night. Why the Grizzlies need to do exactly what they did on offense for a full 48 minutes while avoiding exactly what they did in the second half on defense, they have a good chance against the Hawks tonight, plus much more on this edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Hope you are having a fantastic Friday. That food is settling, so let's settle in for another fun edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Here we go.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It's a pleasure, as always, being with you. My name is Sean Coleman. You can find me at StatsSAC on Twitter. I'm a credentialed media member with the Grizzlies, have been covering the Grizzlies now for 4 years. Your host at Locked On Grizzlies, your Grizzlies every day. You can also find my written work over at Grizzly Bear Blues. Of course, you can find the podcast wherever it's available, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you choose to listen to podcasts. It's free, and that's where we'll be. Please listen, review, and subscribe. And hello to all our YouTube viewers. Hello. Hope you're well. If you're enjoying some Thanksgiving leftovers, now's the perfect time to hit subscribe on the Locked On Grizzlies YouTube channel. Let us know you enjoy the show. Let others be able to find the show. Just makes the overall experience as good as it can be for everyone involved. And of course, I want to thank you for making Locked On Grizzlies your first listen of the day. But after you make us your first listen of the day, check out the Locked On NBA podcast. Listen, I know that it's a few months away, but there's a lot of potential trade rumors that are going on around the league, and, you know, a potential speculation and things such as that. Get the latest on everything NBA. Freeware podcasts are available here on YouTube as well when it comes to the Locked On NBA podcast. So obviously last night there were no NBA games, and hope again everybody had a great Thanksgiving. There's plenty to be thankful for on tomorrow's show of Locked On Grizzlies, a special Saturday episode since we didn't have one yesterday. I'm going to give my thoughts on just how special it is and how thankful we all should be for Ja Morant to be a Memphis Grizzly, obviously with his wonderful commercial that was released this week from Nike. My thoughts on that, plus reaction to the Hawks game. But before we get to that, do want to talk about Wednesday night. For the Grizzlies, the best way that I can describe it was in my post-game discussion of the game. All season long, from Coach Jenkins to the fans to the media, everybody else, it's been a tale of two teams so far this season. In wins, we play like a team that should be in the playoffs, that can be competitive in the playoffs, especially the fact that we've been without Dylan Brooks for basically 80% of the season. We've looked very good. In losses, we've got our butts kicked time and time again. We look like an absolute lottery team in losses, look like a very good playoff team in wins. Well, Wednesday night may have been the one game this year where we truly were a tale of two teams between the first and the second half. In the first half against the Toronto Raptors, the Grizzlies looked like the best version of their offense that we have seen this year. Jaren Jackson Jr. was absolutely spectacular. Between the second half of the Jazz game and the first half of the Toronto Raptors game, against very good defenders in Rudy Gobert and Pascal Siakam, Jaren Jackson Jr. looked the most balanced he has looked since he has come back from his injury in late April of last year. Yes, the threes were certainly there. He was attempting good, smart threes, but the big key was the confidence that he was displaying of getting to the rim, using post moves, using moves on the dribble drive, looking determined, using his strength to be able to create shots. He wasn't just putting up those floaters or those close-range shots with the hope that they would go in. He was using his body to position himself to give himself the best chance of making those shots. And they started falling as well to go along with his threes. 14 points, 80% shooting. Jaren Jackson Jr. was absolutely phenomenal. And because of that, the rest of the Grizzlies stepped up. Desmond Bane had an absolutely outstanding first half. The Grizzlies scored 71 points in the first half of Wednesday night's game. And a lot of it was because, yes, they were scoring in the paint. They were scoring on the run. They were supporting it with threes, but they were getting contributions from everyone. To end the night, the Grizzlies actually had three players, Ja, Desmond, and Dylan Brooks, who all scored 20 or more points. And Jaren Jackson Jr. finished with 16, but he looked the best of all of them. However, The fact that Jaren Jackson Jr. finished with 16 points is really what stood out as being a big reason why the Grizzlies could unfortunately not continue their success in the second half of the game that they had in the first half. Only two shots. Jaren Jackson Jr. played 12 minutes, only had two shots in the second half of the game. Now, I get foul trouble. I get that understanding. But when Jaren Jackson Jr. is going like he was in the first half of the game, if I'm Taylor Jenkins, I'm riding him. I am riding him till basically he fouls out. I am letting him go in. I'm letting him operate. And I'm allowing for him to play at the level that he was playing at the first half to keep the offense at the best version of itself that it could be for a couple reasons. Number one, it allows for him to stay on the court. And of course, his contributions are certainly up there with Ja Morant as being the two best options for you on offense. But number two, it's experience. Let Jaren experience the ability to see if he can continue producing like he had producing in the first half, but this time around, continue to see if he can do it in a smart way to avoid foul trouble, but yet also be productive. I get Taylor Jenkins wanted to preserve the fact that Jaren was getting called for a few ticky-tack fouls like he did on Wednesday night. But at the end of the day, when the offense was struggling like it was and the defense could not get stops once again in the second half, the counter for the Grizzlies was to basically feature their best options. And that was Jaren playing at the level that he was playing to go along with Ja, Desmond, and Dylan. And we did not get that. Only two shots in the second half. The Grizzlies are not going to win many halves of basketball in which Jaren Jackson Jr. only has two shots in a half. So I get what Taylor Jenkins was going with, trying to preserve the fouls for Jaren Jackson Jr., but when the offense is certainly struggling without him in the game and the defense can't get stops, and you know Jared can help that out, you've got to put the player who's playing like your second-best player in the game. And if he fouls out, so be it. But at the very least, you've got the most out of him that you can in the process. But despite the offense looking as good as it did, and I think that's a positive to take away from the game on Wednesday night. The offense looked very good in the first half of the game. But the big key takeaway also was the Grizzlies' defense. Unfortunately, they held the Raptors to 59 points in the first half, which in and of itself is not necessarily all that great. But the Grizzlies allowed the Raptors to score 67 second half points. And the problem was that at all times in the second half of the game, the Raptors had the best player on the court. But the thing was, is that it wasn't Pascal Siakam for the majority of the second half. It wasn't Scottie Barnes. It wasn't Fred VanVleet until late. It was Precious Achiuwa, who scored 17 points in the third quarter. It was Gary Trent Jr., who could not be stopped from three, scoring 17 points in 7 minutes of the fourth quarter. And then Fred VanVleet closing out the games. At all moments of the second half, the Toronto Raptors clearly had the best player on the court, and that's why they were able to outscore the Grizzlies by 25 points. That is something that the Grizzlies cannot let happen, especially against a very good offensive team. The Atlanta Hawks are fourth in the league now in offense, and they're playing the Grizzlies tonight. You know what you're going to get in Trae Young. You know what you're going to get in John Collins and others. They are going to be very tough to stop, but it's going to become nearly impossible to beat a team like the Hawks if you're letting other players step up and for stretches of the game be the best player on the court. And that's what beat the Grizzlies on Wednesday night. They let unlikely sources determine the pace of the game, determine how the game was being played. Precious Achiuwa, Gary Trent Jr., if those type of players for the Raptors coming into the game, if you were told those type of players for quarters would be the best player on the court, there's no way that the Grizzlies would have won in your mind. And that's exactly what happened. The Grizzlies let unlikely sources determine the outcome of the game because those unlikely sources were the best players on the court for significant stretches. And unfortunately, the Grizzlies did not have an answer. So letting Jaren Jackson Jr. operate as he needs to, even if he's in foul trouble, the best way for Jaren Jackson Jr. to maintain the confidence we all know he needs to play at his best and that he's showing the ability to do for longer stretches, the best way for him to be able to maintain that confidence, even if he has foul trouble, is to give him the experience of playing with foul trouble, especially when the Grizzlies needed it like they needed it on Wednesday night. So letting Jaren play through foul trouble and the Grizzlies limiting other teams, you know, third, fourth, fifth options from going off, that is where the Grizzlies must improve, and that starts tonight against the Atlanta Hawks. But despite specific players who really stepped up for the Raptors on Wednesday night, the other big thing that it was, once again, the Grizzlies, unfortunately, could not stop the three-point shot from falling while also struggling on their own. I know that I've talked about the Grizzlies' own struggles when it comes to shooting the three and the fact that they need to feature Desmond Bain and Jaren Jackson more. But the Grizzlies right now are on a historic pace when it comes to opponents' success shooting the three. Where exactly are opponents having their best success, and what do the Grizzlies need to do to specifically focus on stopping the production in those areas? We'll discuss that in just a moment. But of course, you know, it is the Friday after Thanksgiving. And so you've got the football season and you've got the college football season in their home stretches. And we all know what that means. It means more football today, tomorrow, Sunday, Monday. That's the great thing about Thanksgiving. It's football galore. Nothing goes better with football than turkey and betting. BetOnline has you covered all holiday season. More props, odds, and lines than ever before. Head to the new updated website at betonline.ag to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus and the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. It's not just football. BetOnline has pro and college hoops, NHL, boxing, UFC, even your favorite Vegas casino games. Head to BetOnline. They're stuffed with deals for Thanksgiving. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Head to betonline.ag today. Obviously, there's so many fun things going on right now. And of course, as I mentioned, so much football going on. If you want the latest on your favorite NFL or college football team, make sure to check out the Locked On NFL and College Football Podcast Networks for your favorite teams. The latest there, just like you get the latest on the Grizzlies here at Locked On Grizzlies, the latest there whenever you want it for your favorite college and pro football teams. So as I mentioned, the Grizzlies right now are very much struggling when it comes to defending the three. And they themselves are also struggling. You know, I mentioned it before the season. The hope was that the Grizzlies, if they could get their three-point production per game, if they could get their three-point production per game to be around league average, to be around that 15 to 14 to 13 range, if they could be league average shooting the three, if they could do that, plus maintain their defensive production from last year, you had to feel good about the Grizzlies' chances. The problem is that the Grizzlies are, though they've struggled shooting the three over the past few weeks, they're still 17th in three-pointers made per game and 18th in three-point accuracy in the league. That's slightly below league average. That is a good improvement over the past 2 years. But the problem is that the Grizzlies are arguably the worst in the league when it comes to defending the three. And it's true. They're on a historic pace when it comes to three, not only allowing the three-pointers at the rate that they're allowing them, but also allowing the accuracy that teams are shooting against them. Through 18 games in an NBA season, the Grizzlies are only the second NBA team in league history to have allowed 250 or more threes from their opponents while also allowing their opponents to shoot 40% or better from three. The only other team that has allowed 250 more threes from their opponents and their opponents to shoot 40% or better through 18 games in a season is the 2019-2020 Golden State Warriors, a team that finished in the lottery. It also finished with the second best pick odds in the draft. So yes, in terms of the Grizzlies' defense, this defense is playing like a true lottery team. The reason why the Grizzlies are in the playoff hunt right now is because their offense can play among the best of the league at times because of the fact that they have Ja Morant and now shooting that can support Ja's efforts as well. But the big key for the Grizzlies is this, is that the main area where they are getting burned on these three-point shots is above the break. I've talked about it. Others have talked about it. The Grizzlies' struggles right now when it comes to defending the three are the fact that they're overhelping a bit too much. And the problem is that as the defense starts to sag down to try to prevent the opposing players from driving to the basket, they leave the top of the circle. They leave the three-point line above the free throw line open. And that's where these players are being able to find their shots consistently to shoot the three. The Grizzlies right now are allowing the most above-the-break threes in the NBA. They are allowing 11.2 three-pointers made from above the break against their opponents. As a matter of fact, the Grizzlies' opponents right now are making 11.2 threes per game on over 38% shooting above the break when it comes to three-pointers. The Grizzlies overall are only hitting 12 three-pointers per game on 33% shooting. So the Grizzlies' opponents are basically matching with the Grizzlies' opponents, just in terms of above the break, are matching what the Grizzlies are doing through the entire game. Where the Grizzlies are getting beat is that when you take the production of the Grizzlies' opponents in terms of above the break threes, and then you add the fact that the Grizzlies are allowing the highest three-point percentage to opponents in terms of corner threes, that's where the Grizzlies are getting beat. Opponents are matching what the Grizzlies are doing overall from three. Opponents are matching in terms of what they can do above the break. But then when the Grizzlies' opponents start passing the basketball, as the Grizzlies start reacting to trying to take away the above the break threes, the Grizzlies' opponents will then pass the basketball to the corners, and that's where the Grizzlies' opponents will then hit those corner threes. That's where you then get the Grizzlies' opponents creating a big deficit that the Grizzlies must overcome each game because of the fact that they are finding ways to be resourceful from three. We've talked about it all season long. One of the biggest things about this Grizzlies defense that really seems to be an issue is getting through screens, whether it be screens, whether it be motion from the offense, whatever it may be. When the Grizzlies defense is getting set to defend an opponent's offensive possession, there is just too much space left above the free throw line, and then the Grizzlies' opponents take advantage of that by hitting open threes. It's the Grizzlies not putting in the extra effort. It's the Grizzlies sagging off. It's the Grizzlies getting confused as to which Grizzlies player has which opposing player, and it winds up being that the ball winds up in the hand of an opposing player who has an easy shot from three. If the Grizzlies, whether it be fighting through screens better, contesting screens more, staying in position more, rotating better, whatever it may be, if the Grizzlies can figure out how to consistently keep players in that above the break area, that area above the free throw line, if they could consistently keep defenders in that area, I really do think they would have a better opportunity of defending the three and making the defense overall be productive. But the problem is that I just listed four or five things the Grizzlies have to improve in, and they're not improving as of right now. Dylan Brooks mentioned it himself. He talked about the fact that he was asked directly what he felt the defense was missing this year compared to last year. And he said it was extra effort. I don't necessarily think, yes, I do think to an extent, Dylan Brooks is talking about overall effort. But what I do also think Dylan Brooks is talking about is not necessarily that the Grizzlies are not playing to an effort, not that they're, you know, lacking effort all the time. It's just that they're not being smart in staying disciplined, staying in position, and really being able to remain competitive on shots. The Grizzlies are far too often playing confused. They're far too often taking themselves out of the play on closeouts. They're not staying disciplined. They're not contesting the three, but also staying in position to be able to defend a pass if the shooter does not shoot. I do agree with Dylan Brooks. The Grizzlies have to be smarter with their defensive efforts. So the three-point shot from the opponents for the Grizzlies is certainly a big concern. I know many, and including myself, we have felt that the shots would eventually stop falling, and they may still stop falling in time. But there's no doubt at all that Grizzlies opponents are finding a very easy time of being able to find the space that they need to hit the shots that they need in order to be able to get big advantages from the three-point line. The Grizzlies do a much better job of defending the threes at the top of the key, above the break. If the Grizzlies can figure out how to do that, that could be a big boost to their defense getting back on pace. And they're going to have to start that tonight as the Atlanta Hawks come to town, a top five team when it comes to three-point accuracy. But before we discuss that, I want to talk with you about Built Bar. Now, I know that we've all had Thanksgiving dinner, so we probably don't in any way, shape, or form want to talk about anything that we need to eat. But if you enjoy Built Bar, especially if you enjoy options that you can either have in the morning or in the afternoon as a snack, Built Bar is the exact thing that you need to enjoy. It's a healthy snack. It tastes great. It's a benefit to your day. And if you go to built.com right now, you can not only choose from 18 different flavors when it comes to Built Bar, so you can choose many different flavors that you can enjoy, but you also can get 15% off when you use the promo code Locked On. That's 15% off when you go to built.com, put in the promo code LOCKED15, and get 15% off your order from Built Bar. So the Grizzlies welcome the Atlanta Hawks to the FedEx Forum tonight. Trae Young versus Ja Morant, one of the best regional matchups in terms of where the Grizzlies in Atlanta is. And in my opinion, what is becoming one of the best one-on-one matchups in the present and future of the NBA. But the thing about it is this, is that it's a tale of two different teams right now when it comes to the Hawks and the Grizzlies in general. The Hawks right now are 10-9. They are 10-9, and the Grizzlies are 9-9. So there's only one half-game difference in terms of standings between the Hawks and the Grizzlies. But the thing that I will say is this, is that when it comes to the Hawks, they right now are playing at a significantly better level than the Grizzlies are in terms of consistency. Though the Hawks are 10-9, they have won six straight games, and right now are the league's fourth best offense when it comes to production. A big reason why is because their three-point shots are falling. They're top five in the league in three-point accuracy, and they're also now, so they're fourth in offense overall, and Trae Young is getting back to being a dominant player when it comes to offense. Trae Young this season, 25 points per game, over 9 assists, shooting 38% from 3 and 45% from the field. He's turning back into one of the top 10 to 15 offensive options in the league, and the Hawks are benefiting as a result. Even though the Hawks will be without DeAndre Hunter and Onyeka Okongwu, their other players, especially of Bogdan Bogdanovic, is back tonight. Their other role players are doing a very good job as well. But a big reason why the Hawks have found their groove tonight, or have found their groove over the past 2 weeks, is Trae Young once again stepping up and being a dominant offensive player. And so as a result, the Grizzlies basically are going to have to play on offense like they did in the first half against the Toronto Raptors, but they're going to have to shore up the defense unlike they did in the second half against the Toronto Raptors. To me, that's the key of the game. The first thing is that the Grizzlies are going to have to take care of the basketball. The Hawks are a very disciplined team. They're second in the league in terms of fewest turnovers committed per game. They don't create a lot of turnovers themselves, but they're very good at taking care of the basketball. The Grizzlies are going to have to match that with offensive effort because the Hawks are going to get their offensive possessions. And obviously, with how well Trae Young and the offense is playing, the Hawks are going to convert those offensive possessions as well. The other thing that the Grizzlies are going to have to do is that they're going to have to defend the three well. I just talked about it. The Hawks are very, very good at shooting the three. Now, a top five team in terms of three-point accuracy. They don't attempt a lot of threes compared to the rest of the league, but they do a very good job of making sure that they have high percentage looks. So the Grizzlies are going to have to stay disciplined. They are going to have to make sure that they can test as many threes as possible from the Hawks, who certainly through good ball movement and intelligence can consistently find good shots from three. Another big thing for the Grizzlies, though, is that they should, even though Clint Capella is going to be in the game, they should have the ability to find an advantage of getting into the paint. The Hawks, where they struggle a bit, is allowing good production from teams in the paint. The Grizzlies possibly could find options to do that. Wherever Clint Capella is not, if the Grizzlies can rotate the ball to find opportunities to get into the lane, they may have success in the paint and hopefully will be able to balance it out with good three-point shooting of their own. And again, the other thing that stands out once again is ball security. The Grizzlies are going to have to take care of the basketball. They're going to have to make sure they don't let the Hawks, who are the better offense and more consistent offense right now, the Grizzlies are going to have to be the team that really needs the advantage when it comes to overall possessions. If they give the Hawks more overall possessions than the Grizzlies have, that is not going to correlate very well with the Grizzlies' chances to win. But above all else, above taking care of the basketball, above defending the three, above getting into the paint and scoring, the Grizzlies must make sure they do not let secondary and second and third options when it comes to the Hawks have big games. They can't let Trae Young have his normal production and then allow John Collins or Bogdan Bogdanovich or others have their best offensive games as well. The Grizzlies just are not going to have the offense overall, more than likely, to keep up with an Atlanta offense where three or four players are playing their best games of the year. That's something that the Grizzlies must avoid. If Trae Young is going to get his, that's perfectly fine. The way the Grizzlies need to win this game is a lot like they played against the Clippers twice this year. If Paul George got his, that's perfectly fine. But the Grizzlies did go significant stretches where no other Clippers players were successful. They got to do that same thing tonight, and it's going to be hard. With the depth and overall effectiveness that the Hawks are playing with right now on offense. But if the Grizzlies are going to win this game, the biggest thing that they're going to have to do is they're going to have to make sure players like John Collins, Bogdanovich, Kevin Huerter, and others, those players don't step up and have one of their best games of the season to support what you're likely already going to see from Trae Young. So taking care of the basketball, being able to defend the three wheel, producing in the paint, and making sure that multiple Hawks players don't have their best games of the season in support of Trae Young and John Collins, those are the key to the games for the Grizzlies. But another huge thing, at the end of the day, let Jaren Jackson Jr. keep riding the wave of success. Let him balance out his offense with the inside-outside game, another 25 or so point performance from him, to support Ja, plus good three-point shooting from Desmond Bane and Dylan Brooks is the offensive remedy that can get this game done for the Grizzlies. Can't thank you enough for joining us on this post-Thanksgiving edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, a pleasure being with you. We'll be back with you tomorrow, recapping the game against the Hawks and also talking about the absolutely special production that was the Says Who Ja Morant Nike commercial. All that and more on tomorrow's edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Again, you can find the podcast wherever it's available. Find us here on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button below. Have a great day. Go Grizzlies, and we'll talk to you again here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.